You've had plenty of time to think over your mistake. But was it really one? You've had plenty of time to sit there and, in your customary way, say, well, what is part of me and what is part of the rest of the world? Separating the wheat from the chaff, finding what is core to your being and what is separatable, what can be pruned out in the honing and purifying of the steel of you. And eventually you had to admit it. There is a core that you consider to be yourself. And you let the idea in that pursuing pleasure, that edging yourself, staring at her, watching her, that whimpering as your body contorted, twitched, twisted, as you felt the locked-out sensation between your thighs, the inability to get off, as you humped mindlessly at the air, groaning out symphonies of pleasure to the mere sight of the curve of her breast, the sight of her ass jiggling and swaying as she walked away. To the mere sight of her foot pressing down hard on your shoulder, you turning your head, whimpering, waiting for permission to kiss, to lick your way up her ankle, up between her thighs, to lap at her honey pot and lose yourself there. At some point, the dynamic shifted, but not because she did anything to you. She actually couldn't. It was because you accepted as part of the spark of what you want. Part of the desire that forms your being, the notion that you could desire what she desired for you. She didn't have to tempt you. She showed you an honest, resolute, firm picture of a world as it could be. She immersed you in a truth. Sure, she may have deceived you as to what and who she was, but half of that deception was your assumption. And she met that assumption coming the other way, found something of your being, something of what you were putting out into the universe, and transformed it, as if she had met flame and decided, ah, here is one improvement I can make, here is one change to your formula, and flame met what she made, and it in turn was burned, reshaped. Became kindling for a greater fire of need that now burns between your legs behind a shield you cannot breach, that now throbs away. She took your trick of just telling the truth, of bluntly asserting, I want you, of projecting for all the world to see and smell and taste that you are aroused and desirous, that the pheromonal honeyed delight you have. You assumed it affected her, but she saw through it. Saw what it was, the manifestation of your desire, of your crystallization of principle. The pheromones you emit are really just your mind effectively, truthfully, bluntly, blatantly telling people, I want you. I know I can make you feel good. I will dedicate a facet of my many-jeweled self to making you feel good. I will take the dedication I put into learning, into honing my body, into the arts. Into martial arts, into the mind, into the theory of how the mind might be honed without even its knowledge. I will take all the things I can be through pure, constant improvement, and I will turn them to your pleasure. And when that field, that link is put out into the world, yes, it tempts people. It draws them in reverie. They worship your body as they worship the ideal underneath it. Well, she took something of that. Your very own trick and turned it around. She made only honest promises of pleasure. She framed, although deceptively, tricking your mind. She framed the delights in one way, but she told the truth about what they were, and it is delightful to go through the day, every day, your mind harking back to her, staring at depictions of her body that are all you currently have access to, whimpering as you study, as you read, as you fill your head with knowledge, knowing you're going to share it with her, that she's going to just pull it out of your body, and that maybe, just maybe, she'll reward you by letting the throbbing between your legs become a torrent of pleasure that will overwhelm you. You don't know what's going to happen to the spark at the core of you. Like the flame you put into the world, which was burned and used as fuel for her own greater blaze coming the other way. When you are freed from your chastity and brought to orgasm, you do not know what change will happen. But like every change you ever made to yourself, the seed of that change is deep within you, and you know that it will be turned loose. It is in a box, it is sealed away, much as the space between your legs is locked away. Climax wouldn't come even if you used every other part of your body to get off. And so you're just going to have to live with, deal with, be aware of the fact that eventually she'll turn that key. Eventually she might reward you, or maybe she won't. You really don't know. But when she tells you what she's going to do, it will be a true manifestation of a delight and a desire that comes from within. Just as when you stared at her ass, and in one small jiggle of it, in one mincing step away from you, she made you fall to your knees and begin masturbating mindlessly, foolishly in the middle of the floor, in pleasure. Just as she honestly expressed her desire to bring you under by pushing her breasts against your face, just as she brought you to heel by digging her heels into your back, it wasn't just her body you were falling under for. It was what you could see and feel of the spark at the core of her, which has now lit a fire in you. And so every day you have to deal with the whispers, the whimpers, falling to your hands and knees and pawing fruitlessly at the blockage that keeps you from reaching between your legs and just bringing yourself off, pawing at your chest, reaching back and spreading your ass, putting yourself in the position she put you in, face down, drooling. Hearing the pleasured giggling of your masturbating partners, they're still around to come. Hearing others get pleasure because their path is different. And you know that your path leads through dark, toiling, wonderful, mind-melting places. And eventually it leads to her. And the small moments of rebellion are just part of the design, part of the pattern of the sand pouring out. Eventually the hourglass will be empty, and then she will choose. It isn't just release you crave. It isn't just her control you crave. It's to stare up, whimpering at the sight of her body, watch her reaching for an hourglass she could turn over, to set you on another cycle of long, chaste edging with your mind alone, obsessing over her whimpering, learning so you might be praised next time. She could set you on another path. Or she could tip the hourglass over and say, yeah, this time you're going to get to come. And on one level you hope she never does, because you don't know what's going to happen when a months-long, pent-up, waiting, orgasmic, you know it's being reinforced. You know it's being reinforced every time you kneel and wish you could masturbate to her body. Every time you rove back in your well-honed memory and conjure an image of her. Every time you look at a drawing of her left for you. Every time you read some letter chronicling her journey to a distant locale, on which she has, with skills you know she's copied from you, drawn a perfect depiction of her breasts, of some new tattoo on her flank, of her body, of even her feet in perfect soles, perhaps reflected in a mirror so she could get every detail just right, and it does change a little every time, so you know she's traveling, you know she's really depicting how she is, where she is, and you whimper. And it brings you to your fall, or it would, but not quite. Knowing the only thing that's keeping you from masturbating yourself dull and dumb and blank for her, keeping you from laying face down and rocking your hips mindlessly onto your fingers, or begging someone to fuck you just so you could stare at pictures of her. The only thing keeping you from reaching that state is that you literally, physically cannot persuade yourself to do it. You can get anything that you can fill your mind with a need for. That's the nature of your spark, the nature of your body. You can punch through to whatever your goal is. But you just can't muster the resolve, for the first time ever, to turn your body, your mind, your power to breaking yourself free so you could come and come and come, partly because you wonder what would happen after so long, and partly because you want to be under her actual feet, her tits, her perfect lips, under her. You want to be under her influence at the moment that the climax arrives, so that whatever shape it takes, whatever alteration to the spark of yourself occurs, it will be colored by, witnessed by her, maybe open you up to more of her power, her influence. She understood you and outplayed you at your own game, not the guile and whisper of a siren, not the long-honed artistry and spellcraft of a fae standing over you, of an elf, of an ain-she. No, this is instead not a fae's lilting gay laughter. This is your particular style of thing, telling the truth so powerfully that before it the world itself and its obstacles are cowed. She did to you what you do to others, and she did it better. She innovated. And when next she makes a copy of you, she will learn more. When next her mind is filled with all that you know, or at least most of what you know, she will grow more able to use your own arts against you. It is precisely because she was not a different type of thing, but the same type of thing, twisted and dark, the flame that meets flame and says, I can do that, but what if we did this? It is precisely because she is an innovation that she has been able to lay you low and incorporate into your sense of spark of self. The desire to have that chaste-inducing spell right there between your legs and to go long days dripping your mind out, but still making sure you learn enough to innovate so she can innovate further, build on your spark, and confine it in as many new ways as she wants while you follow a path she has set out and you perfect an ideal you didn't know you wanted, but now would never do without. That whispers in your mind. From dawn to dusk, the pursuit of knowledge, the honing of your body, for both your own purpose and for the purpose of something that is only going to grow upon what and who you are, over and over in a cycle that is ever more insidious, that sees the nature of its own flame and says, this could stand to be augmented. Let me make others into machines for teaching me how.